How's everybody? Good, good. My name is Richard. Again, if you missed it, when we started the service, I serve as one of the pastors here at Bethel. Our lead pastor, Pastor Lance, he is still in the nation of India. So please keep him and his family in your prayers until he gets back. Make sure he gets a safe trip back. I just wanted to briefly go over something with you guys. Probably either you received this or in the seat back directly in front of you, there is a card looks like this. If you could take this out just for a second. Pastor Travis mentioned to you about our starting point. If you're new or newer to Bethel, that is where your journey begins here at Bethel, is that starting point. But if you've been here for a while and your journey is continuing in community. So we have several community groups for you guys to be a part of. Just wanted to highlight those to you just for a moment. We've got six community groups that actually have one of them has already started last Monday, Reboot Combat Recovery, which helps to address the spiritual wounds of war. It started last Monday. It's not too late to join them. That's on Mondays at 6 p.m. But we also have two that are on Sundays at 4 p.m. on Sundays, Financial Peace University, and also later on at 5 p.m., our parenting class is going to be meeting. And then on Monday, we have our men's group and our women's group. We did that on purpose so that a husband and wife, if you wanted to go to your own groups, you could do that on the same day. Those are at Mondays at 6:30. And then we also have on Tuesdays our love and marriage group. That's going to be on Tuesdays at 6:30 p.m. The cool thing about these groups, they're all going to be right here at Bethel Community Church, and childcare is provided for you. So we try to eliminate some of the barriers from being a part of a community group for you guys. So how many of you guys want to have fun today in church? If you didn't think you could have fun in church, or if you were taught that that was wrong, that was a lie. We're going to have a little bit of fun today at Bethel. All of you guys were giving something a little special when you walked through the door. How many of you guys received a Lego piece? Yes. All right, if you didn't receive a Lego piece, raise your hand. All right, we have several that did not. So ushers, go ahead and help them out. Just keep waving your hands in the air like you just don't care until you get a Lego piece. See, last week, actually 2 weeks ago, we started a series called The Journey Continues. And we started off by talking about everybody's journey has a starting point, but it doesn't end there. Last week, we read through an entire book of the Bible. If you were here last week, everybody say amen. Amen. Last week, we read through the book of Philemon, which we saw how Onesimus, his starting point was really in a prison cell when he met the Apostle Paul, who preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to him. He gave his life to Jesus. He became a converted and a committed Christian while he was in prison. But his journey didn't end right there. His journey continued into community. And that's really where we are again this week, is continuing our series by talking about community today. And so this Lego piece that you have and you're about to receive really represents you today. You're going to be a Lego piece today. So that little thing that you hold in your hand, we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Now, there was this guy that lived a long time ago. His name was Ole Kirk Christensen. He was the founder and the inventor of Lego. Now, he had some very bad things that happened a long time ago. In 1924, he lost his family home and his business by a fire. In 1932, he had a little bit worse news. He lost his wife that year. She died in 1932, and he also decided that he was going to take a different route in his business. He decided to start making wooden toys in 1932. He started making wooden yo-yos and the little ducks that you pull with a string. He started making those things. And something else happened, though, that was unfortunate. In 1942, his business burned down once again. The second time his business burnt, and this time he also lost his production patterns that were the key to his business. And so he tried to get his business off the ground again, but it was really in 1947. He borrowed as much money as he could get his hands on, and he bought a plastic injection molding machine. And him and his company, they soon designed the very first Lego brick. Now, if you know anything about this company is world wide known. Everybody in the world is familiar with what this is. And the Lego company, if you look up, they make billions and billions of dollars every year by selling these little plastic bricks. Everything is awesome at the Lego company. Everything is cool when you're part of the Lego team. Apparently so. You guys know that song. If you got kids, it's gotten on your nerves, I imagine. See, the thing about this Lego brick and the thing about the Lego that you hold in your hand is there are some similarities between you and this Lego. The thing about this that is so amazing is that this Lego was designed for a specific purpose. And likewise, by God, you were designed for a very particular purpose. And it's very easy. It's this. You were designed to connect, but also to be connected to, just like the Legos. You know, I'm going to put this down for a second. And over the last couple of weeks, I was reading through the autobiography of Billy Graham. It's a very big book. It's about that thick, about 3 inches worth of Billy Graham's life. And he said this at the very end of his autobiography, which is called Just As I Am. He says, as I look back over my life. Now you think about it, right now, Billy Graham is 96 years old. And so when he wrote this, he was around 70-something. So he had 50 years of ministry under his belt. The reason why I like Billy Graham so much is in all of his years in ministry, you never hear about Billy Graham having a scandal involved in his ministry. So I pay close attention to what he says about life and living. He says, as I look back over my life, I have so many regrets. I would have spent more time studying the Bible and meditating on its truth. I would have given more attention to fellowship with other Christians who could teach me and encourage me, even rebuke me when necessary. And that's Billy Graham. And fundamentally is saying the same thing I'm saying today. If he could do his life all over again, he would have been more connected to God and more connected to God's people. This is really what we call the Lego principle. It's really connecting to God and connecting to others. Now, who's ready to have some fun? No, that's not good enough. Who's ready to have some fun? All right. Now, here's what we're going to do. I want you to designate on your row a builder. Now, if you're in a short row, you just combine with the people in the row behind you or in front of you. Now, the builder is going to be the most outgoing person on your row that just automatically raises their hand. So who are going to be my builders on each row? Go ahead and raise your hand if you're going to be the builder. All right, on both sides, you're going to look and see who the builder is. Now, this is what we're going to do. All right. Are our builders designated? Say amen. Amen. All right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to pass our Legos to the builder. Not now. No, not now. We're going to have some building music for you in just a second. You got to wait for the music to get started. So when the music starts, you're going to pass your Lego to the builder. Does everybody know who their builder is? Say yes. Yes. You're going to pass your Lego to the builder. And then the builder is going to make the most beautiful Lego structure in the world. It's going to be epically awesome. You may want to take a picture of it when it's done and post it on social media. So who's ready? Are you ready? You're not ready yet. Who's ready? All right. Cue the music. If you handed your Lego over, you'd start encouraging the builder to do a great job. Come on, builder. You can do it. We're going to give you about 2 minutes. You can do it. Come on. If you're done, start clapping your hands. When you get done, start clapping your hands. Come on, builder.
Have you heard the news? Everyone's talking. Life is good 'cause everything. it's awesome. Lost my job, it's a new opportunity.
More free time. Right, everybody ready?
Feel more awesome than
if
awesome.
You're done, start clapping your hands if you're finished.
3 years later, I shot the frost in. Smelling like a
you
blossom.
You guys done on this
awesome.
Side?
Got mud, got new brown shoes. Awesome to win,
all
and
right,
it's awesome to lose.
Back down. All right, you can find your seat. Now, the thing that I'm almost 100% certain on is that whatever your builder designed looks like a hot mess. And here's the reason why. All of the Legos that we passed out to you guys, most of them are completely different. Some of you got big Legos. Some of you got brown Legos, blue Legos, pink Legos, green Legos. Some don't even look like a Lego. Who got something that doesn't even look like a Lego? Ebony, what'd you get? Looks like a trapezoid or something crazy. You got a wheel. Some of you got wheels. There's a few of you that have eyes. I don't know what that has to do with anything. Now, here's the thing. All of you were a part of building something. And without you being here today, it wouldn't be built that way. It's important that you are here today. Now, before you leave, and actually as I start to go into the scripture today, I want the builder to pass the Legos back, and I want you to take your piece back. It's going to be important that you keep your original Lego piece. Now, if you want to take a picture of the structure, like I said, I'm sure it's beautiful, even though it's a hot mess, just like me. I'm not beautiful. My wife thinks I'm beautiful, so praise God. More of a hot mess than anything. All right, we're going to open up our Bibles now. You ready for the Bible? Say yes. Yes. All right, open it up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, the thing about this particular book that I wanted to mention to you guys is that the Apostle Paul wrote this as a letter to the Corinthian church. The sole purpose of this letter was to encourage a Christian community so that they would know how to act as a church. And so I'm going to take a little bit of liberty in this passage. We're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through 26, and I'm going to strategically take out one word and replace it with Lego. Because I want you to see that the Lego that you have in your hand, it represents you. It's symbolic of you today. And I think it's going to make even this passage of Scripture more significant as we read it. So we're going to start 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, just as a body, though one, has many Legos, but all its many Legos form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free. We were all given to the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one Lego, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a Lego of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a Lego of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God placed the Legos in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one Lego, where would the body be? As it is, there are many Legos, but one body. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those Legos that seem weaker are indispensable. And the Legos that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the Legos that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable Legos need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the Legos that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its Legos should have equal concern for each other. If one Lego suffers, every Lego suffers with it. If one Lego is honored, every Lego rejoices with it. As you can see, you are important into the body of Christ. You are important to this church. Your Lego, which represents you, makes a difference. See, if you were not here today, the builder couldn't have built what was built today. Without you being part of a church community, God can't strategically do everything that he wants to do without you being a part of it. Somebody say amen. There was a book that was written not too long ago by a guy named Joey Bonifacio. He is one of the main teaching pastors at our Victory Church in the Manila, Philippines area. And that church has about 70,000 members in it. He wrote this book called The Lego Principle. He said, not all Lego pieces have the same ability to connect. Some have the capacity to connect with as many as 12 or more bricks, while others are limited. Some pieces connect only to one other brick. The secret of Lego is not that every brick connects to the same number of pieces, but that each piece has the capacity to connect. See, the way that God designed you was that you would connect first and foremost to God, but not just to God, but to connect to other people in community. In community. The thing that the builder made, it may have looked a little crazy, but God can take some crazy stuff, can't he? God can take some deformed things. See, the Lego that you have, it may not look like anything special. Like I said, some of you got a wheel. How am I going to use that? Some of you got a big brick of whatever. How am I going to use that? But whatever you got, whatever you brought to the table, God can use that to do something special and something amazing. But here's the thing, as I was going through the scripture, I was wondering, why do we need to be connected? I think it's an honest question. And I found a solution, an answer in Mark chapter 12. If you turn over in your Bible to the Gospel of Mark chapter 12, we're going to look at verses 28 through 31. This is Jesus. He was talking to a few people, and like they always did with Jesus, they always asked him a bunch of questions. In verse 28, it says, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer. And he asked Jesus, of all the commandments, which is the most important? It's a pretty good question to ask Jesus. Verse 29, the most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Very simply, what Jesus said was the greatest thing you could possibly do with your life is to love God, connect to God, and love your neighbor, connect to other people. The greatest thing, you might be a doctor, you might be a soldier, you might be a teacher, you might be a stay-at-home mom, you might be a student. And those things are great, those things are wonderful. But in the eyes of God Almighty, the greatest thing you could possibly do in your entire life is connect to God. That is, connect to His Son, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, and love your neighbor or connect to other people. That is the reason why you were created. Now here's the question that comes up out of that though. How can you love God if you're not connected to Him? And how can you love people if you're not connected to them? You know, just because we are in community doesn't mean that we're actually connected, does it? Think about this just for a second. You can be at the same school, the same neighborhood, the same job, with lots of other people and not be connected to those people whatsoever. And you know how this works. There can be people who are married, sleeping in the same bed and not be connected. And all the wives said, amen. You can be that close, but not be connected. You can be a member of a church, as great as Bethel is, and not be connected to the community of believers. Proximity does not equal intimacy. Come on, let me say that again. Proximity does not equal intimacy. Just because you're close with somebody doesn't mean that you're actually connected to somebody. You know, God has placed you in this room, in this church, I believe for a reason. God is not the author of confusion, but he does things, the Bible says, in decency and in order. So you are strategically placed today at this church for a reason, because God has plans for you. First and foremost, to connect to Jesus Christ. And the second thing is to connect to the body of believers. Somebody say amen to that. See, if you are not connected, it's a reason. It's not always easy for us to connect to people. You know, but sometimes, just like the builder in your row, sometimes God will send a builder into your life to help you make sense of all the pieces that you've got in your life. Many times it's a pastor, but oftentimes it's just an ordinary believer who is simply at the right place at the right time when you need them. Here at Bethel, we call these people community group leaders. We're starting on August the 23rd, which is starting next Sunday, our community groups. And I believe if you are not connected, you have to be connected. It's one of the reasons that God created you in this world. And there is a power in being connected to a body of believers. How many of you guys agree with that? See, in my crazy, deluded mind, I had a vision about this particular service. And I want to ask you guys something for me really quick. Is there anybody in this room right now that is sick and could really use a little bit of prayer? I just need one person. I need you to help me out. Come on up here. You stand right over there. I'm going to come down to you. There is a power in community. And I don't know how many of you realize it. What's going on with you?
Emotional
stuff.
Yes. I got divorced, my husband walked out on my family and I'm sorry.
That's okay.
About 7 years ago, and it really was a shock, and it's taken this long to try to get back to where I am even now. And I've had a very, very hard week of just feelings, because today would have been our 35th anniversary. And I still hate that it happened, but I just want to be me again, and I want to just be back where where God had me before, just in here. So I need all the love and prayers, and I'm not afraid to ask.
Thank you.
I don't want to hide it.
Tell us your name one more time.
My name is Debbie.
Debbie. Now, what we're going to do, you're going to see an example of Christian community. Now, this is a little awkward. You probably feel a little weird standing up here, don't you?
Well, I feel vulnerable.
You feel vulnerable.
I just told a lot of people.
That's all right. These are like 300 of your closest friends. It'll be all right.
I love people, and I want to be loved too. And I feel like the only way that you can do that is let them in. And it's scary, but that's how I feel.
It's good. I want you guys to do a favor with me. Just like we did for these infant babies, I want you to stretch your hands this way. We're going to pray for Debbie, for her family. If you guys couldn't hear it over the very far end, it's very difficult this week, because this week would have marked her 35th anniversary. Her husband walked out on her several years ago, and the emotions of that still ripple through her life. So as I pray, I'm going to be praying. I want you to believe with me that God is the lover of Debbie's soul. He knows her ins and her outs. And he's going to be the one who comforts her more than any man could possibly ever comfort her. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up Debbie. This entire church lifts her up right now. God, we pray that your healing, calming hand will be upon her, God. And Father, we pray, God, what no man on earth could ever do, God. We want you to be the lover of her soul. God, we pray, God, that you would be the comforter. Holy Spirit, your word says that you are the comforter. When the night comes and the tears flow, God, you see every single one of them, God. And we declare that Debbie, God, she is a princess right now in the eyes of God. She is precious to you, Lord. And you have not left her. You have not forsaken her. You have not turned your back on her. Even when this man walked out on her, the Spirit of God moved in to watch over her and protect her. So God, I pray even now, God, that she would know that she knows that you are with her, Lord. And we pray your grace, your mercy over her right now in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise for Debbie. Now, I did that for a reason. I wanted to encourage her, but I also wanted to point out that there is power in community. There is power when you do not walk alone. Somebody say amen to that. There is a quote by a great man named James Dobson. He started Focus on the Family. He said this, when human beings can survive, he said, we human beings can survive the most difficult of circumstances if we are not faced to stand alone. There is a power in community. Now, she could only get that within the confines of a Christian community. Doesn't have to be the church. It could be a community group. Could be a small group of believers. Just believing God to intercede on her behalf when she's weak, when she doesn't feel strong. And I can guarantee you all of us have been in that place. Somebody say amen. Amen. But there is power when God's people come together to lift you up when your arms get weak, when you feel like you can't keep your head up because of the weight and the frustrations of life. But God has strategically placed you, your Lego, for some reason, in Clarksville, Tennessee, in August 2015. Many of you never thought you would be here. But God's got you here. And I believe he brought you to this church for a reason. First and foremost is to connect to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know where you are in your walk with God, but if you've never connected with God in such a way where you know that you're a child of God because Jesus Christ has delivered you from your sins and forgiven you. If you've never really felt connected to Jesus, I want to share this scripture with you. In John chapter 15, Jesus says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me or connected in me. I am the vine, verse 5 says. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Everybody say nothing. Without Jesus, I am nothing. See, I love my wife, and with my wife, I'm something. A little bit more than what I am by myself. But without Jesus, I'm absolutely nothing. And many of you guys would attest to the same thing. You've seen cycle after cycle of failure, of guilt and shame and sin and pride and fear. And it's happened again and again and again. Outside of a life with Jesus Christ, really where you are connected. When you know that he is your God. And you're his son, you're his daughter. But I'm telling you, a life with Christ is fulfilling. There is a peace of God that surpasses all understanding, the Bible says, that will guard your heart and your mind when you're connected to Christ. That's the most important thing you could ever do in this life. Connect to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's very simple. The way you connect to God is by placing your life in the hands of Jesus Christ. You don't have to beg Jesus. You don't have to promise Jesus. You don't have to wait until you're in a foxhole and you call out his name. All you have to do is repent, turn away from your sin, and believe that Jesus died on the cross for you. Maybe that's where you are. Maybe today is your starting point. That's the best place you could begin a new life, is with Christ. And maybe you're everyone else and your journey is continuing in community. You know, my prayer this week was that there would be a revelation today. A revelation is just simply a big churchy word for God opening our eyes and revealing His word to us. So my prayer today is really that you would be connected. You would see value in community. You would see value in being connected to community. And I want to pray for you right now. I really believe that there's people in this room right now. You're in the community, but you're not connected. I know a lot of people, they get their church, maybe on television, maybe on podcasts. Some even come to church week after week, but they're not connected. God has so much in store for you. But just like these Legos, the ones that you hold in your hand, hopefully you've got your Lego back by now. Make sure you don't leave without it. Hold your Lego in your hand. This is a pretty impressive piece of plastic. But this Lego, it cannot fulfill the destiny that the master builder had for it by itself. And it's just like you. See, God had a purpose and a plan when He designed you, before you were in your mother's womb. But your destiny is not connected by yourself. He always connects us with other people. And if you're not connected, you stand as a Lego by yourself. But you had a builder in your role. There is a master builder who takes all the pieces and He fits them together, the scripture says, as He sees fit to build something great. So, Father, I thank You right now, God. Father, I pray that even as we spoke, even as we had fun with these little plastic bricks and toys, Father, I pray that You would open our eyes, that there is value in community. God, that You have placed us here, not by accident, but a purpose and a reason. God, there are marriages that need to be connected to other marriages. There are singles that need to be connected to other singles. There are men in this room right now that have a wall of pride so thick, even the Spirit of God cannot connect because of the pride. Sometimes it takes another man looking in that man's eyes, kicking in the wall of pride to connect with him. God, You have put us together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, it is my hope that You would take this church, You would take every individual in this church and connect us so that we might bring glory to the name of Jesus in this city, that our marriages, our families, our lives, our neighborhoods, our subdivisions might bring glory to the name of Jesus. And Lord, when You fit us together, God, Your word says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church when the church is together, when it is unified. God, we pray that through these community groups over the next few weeks and months, God, not just this church, but all the great churches in Clarksville, God, You would begin to do something amazing and let a revival happen in this city, God. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen and give the